455. Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310. It's Bob and Corby without the Corby today. He'll be back on Monday. Think a good thought for him and his family today. And in his stead, we have the great Donovan, who's actually in the flesh. Yeah?
It's right there.
I make this trip for you, Bob, and you alone.
You're not fake today, right?
Nope.
You're really there.
It's me.
There's Mike Saroy.
Great bit.
And joining us from the remote locations, I think. I don't know why it tickles me. I think because it kind of looks like it might annoy him. And I don't,
no, it doesn't.
I don't know.
I'm quite used to it.
Joining us from the Dragon's Den, I think. Or is it now the Den of Iniquity?
Or the Dragon Ben.
Did they
like
rebrand?
Like Norm said.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's very true as well. It's Dan McDowell.
I'm not annoyed, Saroy. No, that's not that bad.
No, I'm not annoyed.
No, I don't care. It's just every time you have me on, you do the Justin fight. But, yeah, that's... No, I would think you'd have something better to... I think it's funny. It's really funny stuff.
No, no, good, good, good.
It's very good. I love getting lots of emails from people that tell me I'm a jerk.
One dude on Twitter said, because of the Justin fight is why my car set on fire that one day.
Oh, no, he did not. Nobody said that.
Yeah, I swear.
That's not
and then
cool.
He said hashtag.
Oh, I love it when you point out the
hashtag
metal bats
karma.
When I talk really fast.
I'm like, karma? I yelled at a dude and I...
Whatever. And your car...
Yeah, my car's on fire.
Blew up retroactively.
Yeah.
Karma.
By the way, was it really because... Oh, let's bring on Jake first. Hi, Jake.
What to do?
Jake is joining us from his home.
From space.
Yeah, he's got a weird sounding setup there.
Oh, does it sound weird?
A little.
It's like you're in the middle of Texas Motor Speedway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or blow drying your hair.
Yeah, there's like a little smack of lawn hair.
I don't mow my own yard anymore.
Ho-ho! Tier one, baby!
Wow.
Yeah!
Some draft picks buy their mom a house.
No more...
Jake just went, got himself a landscaper.
No more grass green on the kicks, you know what I'm saying?
They really hustle, though, so they'll be through this in a second.
Okay, so where were we? I was about to make... Oh! So did Cash report that your car started on fire because there was absolutely no oil in it?
I don't think he reported. How would he know? The evidence is burned to a crisp. And I got the damn oil change, but they just love thinking that it's all my fault, so...
Who's they?
Everyone in my family and friends and Dan McDowell.
I did that when I was in college.
Like
never changed my oil, and yeah, that's what happened.
Does it start on fire if there's no oil in it?
Mike?
Oh, if there was some sort of leak or something that I was unaware of, then maybe the oil ran out, and maybe that's why it started on fire. But it wasn't complete irresponsibility on my part, is my point.
Wouldn't you think it would need oil to...
So you're
fire?
So you're blaming the fire in this?
I guess I'm blaming the fire for the fiery destruction of my vehicle, yeah.
How old was the car?
I think it was a 95. So it literally happened on my 40th birthday, the day when I was driving here.
Dude.
You guys never had a car
to injury.
Car go up in flames?
My mom did.
Really?
Yeah. Her job is in the garage, and oh my gosh, fire trucks, what's happening? And it's her car.
Yeah.
But it didn't explode, but
yeah,
flames.
And she
I always dreamed of having a car explode. Wouldn't that be cool?
Well, I was going
like
to say.
A long wick leading into a neighbor's gas tank and then just sitting in your room watching it.
Well,
that's a murder.
Like a terrorist.
The actual question was Donovan's mom walking away from her vehicle in slow motion, flicking a cigarette back at it?
Took one long drag from it.
Yeah.
No. She was sitting at her desk at work.
All right. It's 4:59, guys.
Boy,
I don't...
these guys can edge, I tell you. I mean, that is just top quality work right there.
You got the blinds open with one finger and just keeping an eye on them.
It's time to stop down.
Like a Saroy Amber Alert.
Sponsors.
All Pro Foundation.
All Pro Foundation.
And Or is that it?
That's all.
Okay, very good. Well, guys, this is normally where we would welcome in Corby, but let's welcome in Mike Saroy.
Here he is.
No, no, no.
We were already kind of rolling.
C-Cow Center.
Well, you don't want to do
ears?
Yeah, we can, but I don't have any really E-stories, but I have some audio that I'd like you guys to hear if you want.
We can do, seriously, whatever we
want. That's kind of what I figured the deal was
today.
We're
on total roundtables, but I thought we had to, like, at least...
Bob had an idea, but then you're saying, no, your idea is different and better.
Who, me? Well, his idea, I think, was E-News, and I have nothing planned for that, so I wouldn't even call that an idea.
It's at a different time.
So you wouldn't call that an idea?
So it's
because you didn't plan anything.
I did plan stuff. It's this fun audio we're going to hear.
I did not come up with the concept of E-News today. I just want to be clear on that. It normally runs at this time. There are probably sponsors to satisfy, but now we can do whatever we want, Mike.
All right.
Do you want flashlight?
Sure.
Okay. Here's Mike.
Donnie and I had a fun bit the last 2 days with one Norm Hitzkus, and he did not want to play along today. So yesterday...
Hey, well, Kemp.
How did this come up?
He mentioned the Tyson-Seldon fight, and that was the fight where Tupac was shot.
Right. So then he decided he was going to do a dramatic reading of a Tupac song, and he did this yesterday morning. He did Brenda's Got a Baby.
Okay.
There's no cussing... it, right, at all?
None.
So he just did a Norm-style reading of
it. And why'd he do it?
Well, because we were doing the fight of the day.
Yeah.
That day we did the Bruce Seldon fight, the one that Tupac shot afterwards.
Right, right.
So it put Tupac on our minds. I don't know how we got from
A to B.
Because
he kept calling him Tupac.
Okay.
It was really weird.
Like Dick Stockton once did.
Yeah, Tupac, we got to the point of talking about it. He wanted to do a dramatic reading. We picked Brenda's Got a Baby. He did it yesterday. It was awesome. So now we wanted to say we can't have a West Coast reading without an East Coast reading because we don't want the rap beef to start all over again to have Norm right in the middle of it. That would be really weird. So we tried to pick a Biggie song for him to dramatically read today.
Okay.
We even did a Twitter poll. We had options, 1,000 votes. People were excited.
And what was the song that was chosen?
Big Papa.
Big Papa was chosen. Mike sent Norm the lyrics to Big Papa so he could read it over and even took the curse words out and put blank or blanking in it so Norm could just read it and wouldn't have to worry about accidentally saying a curse word. Well, he read over the lyrics, sent us an email and said, guys, I just don't know about it. Just so much sex and stuff, even without the curse words, he didn't want to do it. But... he came up with something else.
Okay.
Yeah, he wanted to appease us.
Yes. So.
And we didn't even know what it was. Oh, here you go. Here's his actual email to us. What do you think the first word was?
Lads.
There you go. Lads, I read and reread the Biggie lyrics for both Big Papa and Hypnotize, and I really don't like them. Too graphic for me, if that's okay. Like doing the Tupac song, but this one's a bit too vulgar and suggestive for me, and it uses words that I don't want to say again and again and again. We'll figure something else out for sure. So I didn't know that until I got here this morning. I was excited when I woke up. I'm like, cool, he's going to read Big Papa. That'll at least be fun right off the top of the show. And once we started the show, I found out that was definitely not happening, but we were going to get something. So what would Norm give you? What would you guess? What do you think that he might present to us as a peace offering?
I want
to
do Gold Digger.
It's been my dream.
It's Ice Ice Baby, right?
There's no bad words in there.
Okay. Not bad guesses.
Well, that is a really solid guess.
Would you be excited if I told you he worked on an original?
About John Hart?
Oh, is this the Jason Garrett song you wrote?
No.
No.
God, no.
Let's play that.
Shut up. It's my segment. I got this thing. I'm in charge here, Bill. So in an effort to help it out a little bit, I put a little music underneath it. But here's what Norm presented today instead of Biggie Smalls.
Okay. Here's my substitution for reading Big Papa by Biggie. Yesterday in the NFL was Free Taco Thursday after the Miami Dolphins ordered someone in their roster department to take out the former Cowboy. even after Taco delivered 5 sacks last year, the fish didn't want this taco, though there are no indications that Miami had any beef with Taco. And there's no suggestion Miami thought this was a chicken taco. But there's also no question that he has a reputation for being a soft taco. And if someone still has a taste for this taco, it certainly wouldn't cost many beans to get a taco cheap. And as such, it wouldn't be surprising if some teams crunched the numbers on him after his 5 taco sacks last year. But if you're in Dallas, somehow we get another home delivery of this taco, given the way he played here when he was here before, no one could expect Cowboy fans to celebrate by doing salsa dancing.
Oh, baby, baby,
baby, baby.
What just happened?
Did he record that off the air, or did you guys lay out right in front of him after it?
No, we said something right afterwards.
Yeah, I said, Jer, hit the applause. And about
get
that
you
tone.
Wake Jer up.
Yeah.
Smelling salts.
So, freestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right off the dome.
Huh.
How about that?
I love the throat clear before, and as such.
Here is an alternative.
They were to crunch the numbers on.
Very similar to the name game delivery style.
I thought we suggested right afterwards that Biggie had that same exact draft in the first take and then said, you know what? That's great. Let me do something else. And then he actually came up with Big Papa, but he kept that in the back of his mind.
I have one more small
very
gift.
Very similar to Jeff Ross saying Moose did my entire set before I got up here.
I have one more small gift I'd like to give all of you.
Yes.
Trey.
Dan, I feel like I need to stop down the show for a brief hockey anecdote. Do you know the Lyle Odierline story? Let me ask it a different way. Do you know the Lyle Odierline Planet of the Apes story?
Whoa. Absolutely not.
Lyle Odierline and Matt Barnaby had a bit of a feud going. And Odierline, I think, said something about Barnaby's wife. And Barnaby very quickly started calling him like Cornelius as a Planet of the Apes reference. And that took it to an all-new level. Which, of course, I think generated a couple suspensions because you're not allowed to. I don't think it. Man, I'm trying to remember the. I don't think it was a full suspension for Barnaby, but. All right, it's a bad story.
Mic drop.
I just.
Wow.
Baby, baby. I'm just trying to get this parachute over my other arm real fast before I jump out of the airplane.
That mountain's coming quick.
I just don't have time. Like I put it, how do you get this belt to attach here?
That's that weird thing where you declare it a bad story when it actually will end up being like the greatest story we've ever told.
Yeah, that's clearly not the last time I'm going
to
hear from that.
I can't wait to wear that T-shirt.
I love the lack of hang time between, hey, can I interest you in a Lyle Odierline story? Let me rephrase it another way. It's the Lyle Odierline Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't really even have a chance to think about it, but yeah. And I'm over here feverishly Googling, like, is Lyle Odierline... Like, is there a race element?
Well, that's,
to this? Like, what?
That's kind of funny you say that because it was one of those deals, and it's bit me in the past. I don't want to get anyone to guess what athlete it was, but I was doing the same thing over here, Jake.
I'm like, why is this a story?
Because I'm 97% sure Lyle Odierline is just a generic Canadian farm boy who is white and stuff, so you can...
What's the controversy?
Right. But there's that 3% that you can't get wrong on this particular story. So I got everything else wrong to make up for it. Thank you. And that's E! News?
Yeah, sure. I don't know. Just fun audio with our friends.
Let's talk more
well,
about the
flashlight.
Fact that the son of a world-class racer accidentally blew his car up by not knowing that you have to change the oil on it every couple months.
Oh, that's right.
Well, that's
He's
right.
Just frowning from the chicken chopper in the sky. Unbelievable.
Much like Cole Trickle, I know how to drive the things. I just don't know how they work.
Okay. Right, right.
Just put me in a fast car, Daddy.
Son, there's nothing stock about a stock car. All right, it's 5:10. This is the PM Power Hour, and what you are hearing for the next solid hour is the beauty of just the GNO roundtables, but they're just kind of happening here. Just bros hanging with bros, you know what I'm saying? And we get it up and flying post-E! News, Mike. It is 5:14. Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310. So here's what we got. The PM Power Hour here on 3 to 7 with Donnie filling in nicely for Corby both Monday and today. Thank you, Donnie. And,
my pleasure.
Heck, in person, too. We've had Saroy and Trey and Russell Scott all week. And now we add to the mix for the second of a scheduled four-round bout to our massive cross-Metroplex roundtables. We have Dan and Jake joining us as well. And I think the first question is, when did Jake officially join Bad Radio? Because we were trying to sort that out earlier, and I don't remember a thing, to be honest.
I want to say 2011.
So 2011, you replaced...
Oh, okay. I thought you meant, like when did the show change? My bad.
Oh.
I thought you meant, like, February 11th. No.
No. Like you took over for Groups first?
Yes, that was... April 6, 2012.
Roughly.
You know what? I had it wrong the other day because I thought it was 2011. And the only reason I thought that is I was revisiting the parade audio from the Mavericks that summer of 2011. And I realized, like, well, I definitely wasn't on the board for any of this. And I thought that I had taken over, you know, in the middle of the year. So then I asked Groobs, and it's April 6, 2012.
And what was your – Dan, do you know Jake's whole timeline before that?
Like I would say intern to
the hard line. I remember that, and then I remember
top 10 host, right?
Straight to top 10?
No. I interned right after I graduated high school, so that would have been the fall of 2003, and I did that until the summer of 2005. And then I moved to San Marcos to finish school at Texas State. Eat 'em up, Alexis, Texas. I did that for 2 years. I got back here. Maybe summer 08, and then I was hired in February of 09 to just do, you know, weekends. Just, you know, normal weekend overnight, ticket sports Saturday, ticket sports Sunday, and then I started the top 10.
Board hopping.
Yeah, just board hopping. Okay. Started the top 10 June of 2010.
Huh. Man, I feel like you were with us during the Mavericks run, but that's
so
weird.
Did I. I mean, just I don't know why, but in listening back to it, it's definitely not me. Did you hear that segment, Bob?
Which one? The parade one?
Yeah.
No, I need to go back and hear that. I'm sorry.
There's a lot going on. Like, in hindsight, there's Terdima Usery on a convertible Mustang with the Mavs dancers.
Nice. Nice.
And then the other thing about that is that the parade was taking place Friday, and it was concluding right around... you know, late 11 o'clock hour. And as Dirk is approaching the AAC, so like the final car,
mm-hmm.
Norm fires up the Picks of the Pole music and has like six plays for the local track. And you can hear the crowd going crazy in the background.
Are you serious?
Dude, it's amazing. And he's asking Saroy, like, what, you know, what pony he likes that night. And it's the middle of the championship parade.
And Saroy was on his show back then.
Yeah, I was surprised by that.
Yeah.
I think you were like 1 year before.
Yeah, 2010 Spurs series is when we switched mics.
Yep.
So, Roy, what show did we go to where we talked about this? Wasn't there a rap show we went to at like the Granada and maybe Bassett had just gotten fired? And I remember being like, hey, you're definitely getting this one, but now you can't do the top 10 whenever Chris House decides to become a cop.
Gosh, I don't remember even. Yeah, I don't remember thinking of the top 10. Was it Brick's Rap Show in Deep Ellum?
No, it was before that. Anyways, it was something we went to, and we were kind of plotting, hey, by 2020, you know.
Yeah, we'll rule the world.
Jake and I do a lot of plotting together.
Boy, yeah.
Sometimes he's right about himself.
No way. Oh,
buddy.
Oh, no.
Buddy. So your plan was 10 years long?
No.
We're going to add a couple more on
both
for
you guys.
15.
Yeah, 15.
You just want to make sure you hit the goal?
Yeah, I mean, be realistic.
Tired out here. So, and then for a while there, from 2012 to 2015, we had full-powered Donovan and Jake and, you know, the whole gang. And then in 13, you took over as producer, and that's when Mino came in?
That sounds right, yeah. Yeah, I think that's right.
You remember any of this, Dan?
You know what? That might have been 14, February 2014. It was right after the Super Bowl.
Oh,
so I think I produced you guys for almost a clean 6 years.
Okay.
Which was totally my plan.
Well, everything is everyone's plan now. I mean, right. Everything's going just perfectly.
Sure.
Okay, so we have Mike and Donnie and Dan and, well, Jake and me here doing some roundtables, and this can go in any number of directions.
Well, I have a little follow-up first.
Yes, sir.
To the audio Mike played right mm-hmm. before we went to break.
Right.
Do you guys remember it?
Yes.
If
I sure do.
If you're just tuning in.
Yes.
I think this was it. Without this, it has no music behind it.
Dan, I feel like I need to stop down the show for a brief hockey
I don't know.
Anecdote.
Stab Center.
I don't know if I have the whole thing. Is this longer than 45 seconds, Saroy?
No,
I trimmed it down a fit. It's a little bit. His whole deal?
Yeah.
It's longer
like
than
20 seconds. Maybe.
Yeah, no, it is.
Well, I might need you to play yours then, because you know what? I'm sorry. I just pulled this off the logger.
Yeah, I don't.
During the break, did you need two loggers for it?
Yeah, I think it might have crossed over into
yeah, okay,
side.
Sorry.
Always a bad sign.
Yeah. the
can't fit
ticket
it into
logger
one
is a remote thing where we can get audio, and it gives us 15-minute chunks.
Why?
So I think this might end at 40.
Does anybody know why?
No.
Wouldn't it be better to like have longer chunks?
Why not more?
I don't have it clean.
Oh, that's a
shame. You just have it with your music under it?
Yeah.
Well.
But I can get it.
Well, anyway.
Boy. Now live look at Trey on the Drago treadmill trying to figure out if he can get this in the next 2 minutes.
But it was about Lyle Oadline.
Yes, sir.
Bob wanted to tell a story about Lyle Oadline, and do you remember the story about Lyle Oadline?
Only because, you have a dog named Cornelius at one point before he was launched into Grapevine.
R.I.P.
That's right.
Yes.
But so I did find, during the last hour, a story from the Penguins' first round playoff series v. New Jersey in 1999.
That would be the one.
So Matthew Barnaby, Penguin.
Yes.
As you remember him saying, Yager, Yager.
Gosh, that's the audio we've lost that we'll never find again that we really need to have. Do you know about that audio?
So,
I don't think
they were interviewing Jaromir Jagr.
Tommy Daniels.
And Matthew Barnaby walked over with his...
His microphone was not a microphone.
Ah.
It was his penis.
Oh, okay.
And he spoke... he was like being a ventriloquist, but he was making his wiener talk.
So as all the other media
he's
are
naked,
gathered in there.
Right next to Jagr.
That's how comfortable we were as a society in 1999.
Jagr! Jagr!
He was standing,
ever, like,
and Jagr
you ever turn
was sitting?
It sideways so that it's like a little mouth? And it's like...
Every day.
We've all done it, so we all know exactly what you're talking about.
Have you ever gone so far as to put a couple of Sharpie, just little tiny...
Little eyes
on there? Yeah, it's so easy and fun.
Dan's just has one little mark.
Oh.
I
don't get it.
It's been a big week for World War II humor.
Yeah. Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. No way.
Suck.
I don't believe.
Has that been done?
I don't believe Dan's ever done that. I'm going to give Dan enough credit to say his obsession has stopped short of that.
Thanks. Oh, a little mustache. Okay, no.
Well, he will now.
I bet 25 times in the world someone's done that.
Yep.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
Okay, so that's who Barnaby was. He was like also a pest, right? A fighter, all
that's
that kind of stuff.
All he enjoyed doing was
and
making.
And apparently, he and Lyle Odelein fought 10, 12 times over the years.
Yes, and I think Lyle was certainly thought of as a bit of a big dope, you know? And I think Matt Barnaby thought he was sort of a intelligent goon, and so he would quickly attack others for being a bit dense.
Because Barnaby was smaller, right?
Right.
So that's what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Odelein had, previous to this series, had been quoted as saying he's yapping and chirping, trying to do his thing. And then he'll turtle on you.
Right.
He's not going to scare anyone. He's not going to hurt anyone. The only way he can hurt you is if he gets you out of your game. So he's just, you know, saying that's the kind of pest he is. Barnaby says if he thinks I'm afraid of him because of his quotes in the paper, he's dearly wrong. He thinks he's a tough guy. I'm not afraid of him. This is before the series. Then, when pressed on some more, Barnaby says, Cornelius, as we like to call him, he likes to get under your skin. And then the author of this article said a quick check of the Devil's Media Guide confirmed that Odelein's middle name is not Cornelius. It's not a nickname bestowed upon him by his teammates. So why did he get that name? Barnaby said, Planet of the Apes, look at him. Seriously, he looks like Cornelius.
Wow.
So they the reporter ran to the other locker room to tattletale on Barnaby and to see what Odelein would have to say in return. He says, I don't know what he's yapping about. He should take a look at his wife. She's got awful to look at.
Wow.
Whoa.
And Barnaby finished it all with, it doesn't bother me. We want him on the ice anyway, so he plays his 9 minutes a game.
Wow. So I guess in this story, to quote John Rambo, it appears Lyle Odelein might have drawn first blood to a certain extent.
But yeah, and also I want to be clear.
Going after the wife, right?
I've now seen pictures of Laurel Odelein, and Barnaby is wrong, because this is a top-quality 60s woman right here.
No, Odelein says he should look at his wife.
Okay.
So
yeah,
look,
I don't have any,
find out Matthew Barnaby's wife. Go to MatthewBarnabyWife.com.
Any chance, though, that that's not an outdated type thing? Not to suggest that professional athletes don't always stay together.
The current wife looks pretty Instagram hot, but I don't. That was in 2014, so I don't have anything on the others. But let's circle on back to Laurel Odelein. Looks great.
Do you want to hear? Spin. Do you want to hear the audio that this all stemmed from?
I mean,
Trey says
I mean,
he has.
I guess
it.
If I mean, I wouldn't.
I mean,
Trey
and
says
I feel
he
like
has.
I need
it.
To stop down the show for a brief hockey anecdote. Stem Center. Do you know the Lyle Odelein story?
How long is it?
Hold on. Here it is. Let me ask it a different way. Do you know the Lyle Odelein Planet of the Apes story?
Absolutely not.
We've definitely talked about it, but it has been a long time. But how long is this? Lyle Odelein and Matt Barnaby had a bit of a feud going. And Odelein, I think, said something about Barnaby's wife. And Barnaby very quickly started calling him like Cornelius as a Planet of the Apes reference. And that took it to an all new level, which of course I think generated a couple suspensions because you're not allowed to. I'm trying to remember the.
This is a good story.
I don't think it was a full suspension for Barnaby, but all right, it's a bad story. I forgot.
That is impressive.
A minute
that's
29.
That's what made us go look up the Lyle Odelein story. I'm going to say it was less than a minute if you start it with where he started telling the story.
And we're going to play Who Told It Better, and I'm going to nominate Dan.
See, now we have all the
info. But it was not a small anecdote. It took a while. It took a little research online.
Well, it's tough to remember all of these off the top of your head if you can't remember when Jake started. So trying to remember 1990s Penguins anecdotes. It's difficult.
Took research,
still,
printer, a highlighting pen.
I own my L.
Do you guys like write down like momentous? Like I have this entire notes page here that I'm looking at whenever you ask me, like when you buy a house or you know important things like that, or is that just neurotic of me?
No,
you should.
No, I keep a lot of iPhone notes, but I think now those are so disorganized that it's just.
But like I can't remember how long I've lived in this house. I think 8 years, maybe nine. Right. But it all runs together now.
Does it drive you nuts, Bob? Like yes. I'll look at my computer every day and I'm like, ah, just a mess.
The only way Bob remembers
anything. Files.
Or this is at least the I would have said this in the Newlywed Game when we were married. The only way Bob remembers things if there was a major sporting story right. near that event because
Clemens
you'll be like
20 strikeout.
Yeah, but it's getting worse.
Oh
man.
Yeah, that was you know when so and so did whatever in sports like. Clearly, your children, which one was born, like, during the Bill Guerin signing?
Maddie. Yeah. That would be Maddie.
But you...
No, you're right. You absolutely
pull it back to that.
This is absolutely true that I have remembered most of my life through sporting events, but now, very important sporting events, or things of the sports world, I should say, have now eluded me. Including a question for Kemp Spin next. Okay. Whoa. It's 5:34.
You okay?
I think I'm fine.
All right.
It's Sports Radio 96.7 1310. It's 3 to 7. And we're just kind of doing a ticket roundtable with our good friends, Dan and Jake and Donnie and Mike Soroy and me. So here we are. And this particular topic that I just had on the list, and we can go wherever you want, and maybe this goes nowhere, but I did want to ask Kempspin a question because
Kempspin.
If there's one thing Bob and Dan have learned over the years, it's that TC and Jake remember our lives, especially our downfalls and our embarrassing moments, but way better than we do. Part of it's coping, I'm sure, but part of it is after a million shows, it all just starts running together. And the question I have is embarrassingly recent, I think. Certainly during your time on our show, certainly during your time as producer. But what was the exact Keith Olbermann story? Because somebody asked me today on an athletic chat, why did he do the Bob Slurm thing? And I sort of remember it, but I don't remember how he got involved. And I remember parts of the story. I don't remember all the story, and I wondered if you had a better handle on it than I do, which is obviously a little bit hard for you to know what I remember. Do you remember anything?
So, come on. Sir.
Okay. Okay.
This is fairly timely because it was Jordan related,
right?
And it was I think it might have been the game where the Spurs turned the heat up.
Yes.
You know, like when the AC went out or whatever.
Yes.
Conspiracy you want to believe
it definitely
in.
Started and, with LeBron's cramps, right?
Yeah, LeBron had cramps. And then Keith Olbermann was defending LeBron, saying Jordan had asked out of games for cramps too. And then you responded to him basically like, this is entirely false. This never really happened. And he, I believe, blocked you. I don't know if he still has you blocked or not. But that basically he was using the wrong game. Like he was using a game that wasn't from the finals where Jordan might have had cramps. It might even have been a regular season game.
You know what? Okay, here it is. So it's Roland Lansby and Bill Barnwell. And I think Keith Olbermann.
Who hasn't been blocked.
Yes. So Bill Barnwell.
Bill Barnwell does?
Yeah.
So Bill Barnwell, and he has since unblocked me, but I guess Jake remains blocked, but Olbermann still has me blocked. So it's
that one was Dez related.
Okay. So Bill Barnwell. Jeez. Bill Barnwell used a piece of the book that Roland Lazenby wrote. Does anybody know that Jordan book? It's the one with Jordan. It's the back of Michael Jordan, and it's called Michael Jordan, The Life by Roland Lazenby. Okay, so I'm finding this as you're talking now by doing one of those Twitter searches, and apparently Bill Barnwell tweeted that when Michael Jordan got sick the game before the flu game, he asked out of the lineup
in game four of the finals, the Jazz win over the Bulls. So me being me, had no recollection at all of Michael Jordan asking out of a game like LeBron did. Like LeBron, I don't remember how much time LeBron missed in that game in San Antonio, but it felt like he missed considerable time, like almost a half or something like that. But I don't remember now. Do you guys?
Don't remember off
the
top of my head.
That 2014 finals? Okay. Well, anyway, he's saying that Michael asked out of the game four and could not go on because of cramps, just like LeBron. So that makes it no big deal. So, of course, I went back and watched that entire game. I have it, right? Why not? Let's go back and watch it.
But, of course.
And nowhere in that game did Michael come out of the game for cramps. He played the entire fourth quarter, all 12 minutes. He played 12 minutes out of 12. He played 42 and a half minutes in the game. And I had just watched it, and I said, that's not true.
Hmm.
And, of course, because it's in a book, Roland Lazenby, Bill Barnwell, and Keith Olbermann are all battling me that, yes, it did. Roland, the author of the Jordan book, talked to Chip Schaefer, the Bulls trainer, and here's a story about Game 4 when Jordan said, I can't go on. He played 43 minutes. It's not true. And I'm saying maybe he misremembered. No, I talked to him within 9 months. So anyway, these guys are now telling everyone, for whatever reason, maybe they just want it to be fair. I don't know, but they're telling everyone it's fact. Michael did the exact same thing in the 97 finals, and of course, me being me, I couldn't handle that, and I wanted to
battle.
Tell them. Well, I wanted to tell them I just watched the game, guys. That's not true. And don't you?
So finally, they digitizing all your VHS tapes paid off.
Oh, it's paid off a million times before that. I think I can't just I can't remember a name. So anyway, so how? Why did Olbermann take it to the TV, though, is what I never understood.
Because he knew
Slurm.
Yeah, and then he started calling you Bob Slurm. That went on for like four nights. But basically what happened was Keith Olbermann tweeted about it. This is June of 2014. And, yeah, it was, as you said, the game. By the way, the reason Bill Barnwell blocked me was because he said, Dez, Hakeem Nicks, I don't know, kind of a push.
Yeah.
And I think I called him an asshat, which... You know, it's fair.
That must have been
in that regard. Everyone would support me there.
That must have been pretty early in the Hakeem Nicks.
Yeah, well, he had two seasons of over 1,000 yards of one and one of double digit touchdowns. So I think we all agree I was right there. But
you were.
Keith Olbermann tweeted, "Leave King James alone. Jordan asked out for finals cramps too, and teams have messed with the AC." And you replied. And then Keith Olbermann parrots the entire false account of 1997's Game 4 last night, too. "My work is never done." And he replied to you, your quotes, "Work is never done? Who are you? In fact, your work apparently never started."
Ooh.
But just to prove that you didn't really get in his head, he then referenced you for like a week straight.
And then I think it became like part of his bit as a fake golf announcer guy, Bob Slurm.
Yeah.
Did you ever have trouble going to sleep thinking of this, Bob? Be honest. At the very beginning, did it hurt? Did it hurt you?
I think
hurt.
I mean, dude, he posterized like a top five sports personality of our lifetime.
But Slurm.
It was weird. It was a weird experience because I think at the time he was doing his late night show on ESPN or something.
Mm-hmm. How'd that go?
Well, people know who he is, and people, you know, it's fine.
I think it went about as well as his impassioned plea to get Trump impeached. Keith Olbermann has been taking losses for 10 straight years now, and you started it. So
that's exciting. That's exciting. And it's exciting that you're retelling it in a favorable light of my role in it, and I thank you for that.
Yeah, I'm wondering, how did he bring it up the first time on the air? To make fun of you, was that with Fake Golf Guy or like was it that very next day?
It was the very night, and he didn't. I don't think he ever talked about our experience. He just started using my name as his go-to fake announcer on TV. So I think he was helping me.
Bob Slurm
even has a Twitter account.
Dan, you got a Dropbox search. Just do Olbermann. Because on June 13th was the first reference.
Didn't he do like Idiot of the Day or something? It was like Jerk of the Day.
Yeah, that might be. Do you have anything in there, Trey?
Let me find it.
Okay, if you do. All right, the Olbermann story. Finally.
Yeah, world's worst in sports. You were on.
Oh, wow. See. That's super original.
A June 13th, 2014?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's it.
Fly blind here.
Okay. Let's see.
Back to the action, and this is your generic golf announcer, Bob Slurm, reporting to you from round two of the U.S. Open. That's Roy Williams passing out grades. Phil Mickelson ran into some trouble in the back nine. And look out, Mr. and Mrs. Golf fan. Oh, second shot on 10, tails into a bed of pine straw. Doesn't that sound appealing?
Bed
of pine straw.
Yeah, there's no further reference,
no
though, right?
Then on the 18th.
But I think that's the same day, right? Like, the LeBron game was June 12th, maybe? Or something like that? I don't know.
That I don't know.
This one says short, so maybe it's the same thing.
But
let's see.
Back to the action, and this is your generic golf announcer, Bob Slurm, saying so long from 7 at Niners.
Oh, wait.
The pine straw. I'll be sleeping in one tonight. It's Bob Slurm saying so long from 7 at Niners, number 2. Partly cloudy in Boston, John Lackey on the map.
Who won the 14 U.S. Open? Mike? That was the year before Spieth, big win at Chambers Bay.
All right, this one says Bob Slurm again, June 17th, 2014.
But for our winner, permit me to turn it over to our golf announcer, Bob Slurm of Golf Shots, Nothing But Golf Shots magazine, who's over at 12. Bob?
So he just, he has a Twitter fight with you.
Yes.
And then on his TV show, just starts using that name, but never references this idiot guy.
No, he's not going to actually make me famous.
I wonder if he Googled you and knew at least that you were a media guy, because he wouldn't just do this with, you know, whatever, generic Steve and Carrollton or whatever, right? He would.
I would think.
He's doing this because he knows it'll get under your skin,
and
perhaps.
This was
famous guy.
His show, right?
Yeah.
So did he have writers? Do you think they sat around and laughed and giggled when he said the name because he said this one guy was messing with him?
Yeah.
And then somebody said Bob Slurm, and they all died laughing.
They do the little gun thing with their their fingers.
Boom. Yeah, they stand up and do the DX Croc thing. And he uses it right there on the show.
In their meeting, are they like, nah, sperm's too easy, right?
Right. Yeah. We have more creative. Then someone said, Slurm?
Think about it.
Yeah, that'll do it.
God, you're the best, Keith.
That'll learn them.
Dan, when we originally lived in our tiny apartments eating noodles because we couldn't afford white bread for peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, do you think we'd have a beef with both Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann over the years?
Well, that's right.
Just imagine.
Dan Patrick and his creative new bit, Homer Call of the Week.
Homer Call of the Week. Amazing.
For a while, you guys went at Simmons for Press Box Hot.
Did we?
Was he using that?
Oh, yeah.
Man, what an amazing...
Yeah, then Julie joined us, and I started distancing from everybody. We never did that. Wow. That was Bill Simmons.
What an amazing Bill Simmons story you were reporting on this week, Dan.
Oh, my gosh.
The five houses he owns?
Of over $32 million or whatever it is.
Total, yeah.
Did you know this, Dan?
No,
he
didn't.
Just bought a $16 million home.
Bill Simmons owns five homes in the Los Angeles area.
Stupid.
One on the coast of Malibu, of course, which I believe we call a cottage, which I think is one of the more pretentious terms that you could ever come up with.
Oh, that's my $1.8 million cottage.
Yeah, it's up there with villa.
Yeah.
Are you guys like tracking this entire, I guess it came out after Cliff too, but we were talking about it with Bill Simmons that like there's a certain level of wealth you can get to where you rent. And it doesn't really matter.
So you're like, saying Cliff doesn't own that place?
No, he doesn't.
So you could throw down an offer and get him displaced?
Yeah, and I think TB12 is renting. Is it Jeter or A-Rod?
Jeter.
So like, there's a point where you're like, yeah, of course, financial security. I would rather own a home than rent it. And then there's another level where you're like, I don't care. I just want to rent this house for a couple years.
Well, how much a month do you think he's throwing down for that house?
Dude,
in Arizona.
He's got the Yad Jeets house.
$50K?
That's insane. Because that house isn't
as
expensive.
How can we find that out?
Well, I think somebody sent us the listing for Cliff's house.
Zillow or something like that.
And it wasn't nearly as insane as you might think.
I think it was like 4.7
million
or something like that.
It was in the fours. It's Arizona, though, right?
Yeah, it's in Arizona.
Okay.
In
That's different than four in
California,
LA.
That's $20 million.
Yeah. It is sweet.
And Bill Simmons would own it.
He would, man. He's done.
And then,
you got to give,
then, like
give
Jake,
a lot of credit. 200...
Jake pointed out. Then he's sitting there in his podcast room with, you know, his ripped
Rembert.
Up jeans and,
yeah,
you know, just sitting around with his very low paid writers, I'm sure, in comparison, and trying to act like he's one of the boys.
I believe that billionaires should pay for their own football stadiums.
I'll tell you, though.
He's right, you know.
The string of luck. When you talk about Romo or Bill Simmons or any of those guys getting their deals done right before the pandemic, just if you're...
Yeah, does Spotify pay that? What was it?
No.
$250 million?
There's no way.
For The Ringer?
Like, that was
and
February.
The Ringer is fine.
Yeah.
But come on.
It's not even Grantland.
What if, Grantland hypothetically... Light. There was another side of that spectrum.
Like you and Dak?
Well, Dak for sure, right?
Dak, dude. I don't even know there is
yeah,
an offer
right like
now.
Yeah, you're just like Dak.
Do you believe,
Jake, all you have is your 1 year $30 million on the table.
Yeah.
Do you buy what I'm selling on Dak's extension offer?
What do you think?
I don't What's think that? It's out there anymore.
Like if real? They... If CAA called and said, we'll take that $38 million or whatever you were offering.
I think if he tried to get the offer that was out there on March 1st, I don't know that it's still there just because I think, first of all, in fairness to the Cowboys, I think you'd have to be out of your mind to sign a mega deal without knowing if there's going to be a season if you don't have to.
Yeah, and then like just the PR backlash of it. Right.
I mean, just imagine what Jameis' offers were before he took the Saints offer. Let's just start there. I mean, Jameis isn't Dak. But he took a one-year, $1 million deal. What does that mean about the offers out right now?
He took one
now?
For one?
I think one for one.
One.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. It can get bigger, but
boy,
it's
and
all
like Brian Hoyer was being locked up last offseason for 3 for $9 million, right?
Oh, yeah, but that was a different world.
Dude, what did Chase Daniels?
Chase Daniels got 3 foot 12, I believe. Yeah, 3 foot 13 or something like that.
Like, what are the biggest post-pandemic offers? Like, let's say after April 1st, what's even out there? Jadavion's still out there. Cam's still out there. Or you can take a real tiny one-year deal.
Mm.
It's a different world, boys. All right, it's 550. Let's go again. We enjoying the roundtable? We got this? You think
oh, yeah.
we got one
what
more
do you mean
of this?
By enjoying?
Exactly. Next. 554. One more segment of the round tables. It's Dan, it's Jake, it's Bob, it's Donnie, it's Mike Saroy. We're all here. We're all doing Friday. Thank you guys for delaying your elaborate parties and raves for a little bit later in the evening.
Dude, I like delayed gratification.
Yeah.
I'm going to do some great effing tonight.
Okay.
Because that's what's on hold right now.
Well, good luck. We wish you the best in all of it. So I certainly said to you guys, if you have anything, that's more than fine. And then I have pretty much set the last agenda with Kempspin. So feel free if you want to grab the ball, well, now's the time.
We made a new list. So we have the Bonds Griffey list.
Yes.
Remember the Bonds Griffey list?
Very much so. Does everybody know what that is?
I do.
Mike?
Yes.
Okay.
Which was like, it was my list of people who would surprise me.
Hi, Doug.
If they were busted for Me Too or
Sorry.
Something like that. And then a list of people that would crush me. And it's called the Bonds Griffey list because it would not surprise you if it was, you know, Bonds, right? When you found out he was on steroids, you're like, yeah, his head's giant. And
of course.
He's hit 70 home runs a year. Yeah, obviously, he's on steroids. But if you heard Griffey was on steroids, you would be like, oh, no, not the natural, not the kid.
Yeah.
So we had that list, but it meant for, like, who might get busted for Me Too. And I apologize to Dale because he's our savior, but we all have thought, boy, he might be on the Bonds list. Like, I can't believe Dale Hansen. He's just old white guy.
Yeah,
from,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Did his hardcore checks, living in the 80s. And
checked several boxes.
But then there are other people, let's just say Bob Sturm or Slurm, that would be on my Griffey list.
Aww.
If he got busted for, you know, tagging a sales chick, I'd be like, wow, that's very surprising to me. I'm kind of shocked. But that is that list. But I have this new list that we came up with, and I didn't mean it to be a list. Actually, Jake, I think, is the guy who has a list. But it all started when I was talking about Jerry Krause today and saying that Jerry Krause is... It's weird that we remember him for just destroying something we loved.
Right.
The Bulls dynasty. And he's a villain in my mind. And when they started that, you know, The Last Dance documentary, certainly they paint him as the villain.
Right.
He's the one that doesn't want Phil Jackson back. He's the one that doesn't want to pay Michael Jordan more. He's the one that doesn't want to pay Scottie Pippen. And he never did. And he wouldn't renegotiate Scottie Pippen's contract. So he's terrible to me. I hate this guy. And look at him. Ugh. Funny eye, right? The weird eye.
Definitely a funny eye. I don't know if that proves guilt or innocence, but yes, a funny eye for sure.
But they are laying out a few other facts as they unroll this documentary to us, like the fact that he drafted Scottie Pippen. And it wasn't like with the number one overall pick. He had to see him and see the talent that he had. He fired Doug Collins when they were on the brink, perhaps the precipice, of being an NBA champion. Very ballsy, if you look back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for an unknown, it wasn't like he brought in Pat Riley or somebody that was, you know, a guy who has done this before, a guy no one had ever heard of.
Right.
Very controversial. So he really deserves quite a lot of credit, yet in my mind, I only remember him for the last thing he did, which was terrible. And I said, it's on a different scale, of course, but he's kind of like O.J. O.J. Simpson did a lot of great things. He built the Autobahn. No, he rushed for 2,000 yards.
Right?
Here he goes.
he was the first black athlete to be a very major marketable star, like to white America. He was on Monday Night Football. He was... But then all of a sudden, he does this one thing, and we forgot all that other stuff.
Kirby Puckett.
Now, that one thing was pretty big, you know, the whole killing people.
Yeah, but Kirby Puckett's a great one, right?
That is a great one. So yeah. That's where Jake is like, is there a list of people that you could, and I wasn't thinking of that, but since then, I think our brains have been moving a little bit. So Kirby Puckett.
Puckett was
temp spin.
Well, Kirby Puckett basically went through his entire career as kind of an Isaiah Thomas figure. He was fun loving.
He's fat.
Fat
people are fun loving.
He's just jolly and chucky.
But also a 10-time All Star.
Oh, right, right. I'm not discounting his baseball skill.
Awesome player. Won a Gold Glove all the time. Was a great hitter.
First ballot.
Fantastic player. Yes.
The Homer Hankies.
Right into the Hall of Fame, but. I don't know that you're allowed to say you ride or die with Kirby Puckett because he did not stick the landing, which, as I recall, was domestic violence, maybe even after being inducted into Cooperstown, which makes it even more twist the very difficult post-playing life where you would try to settle down and be domesticated and not have a bunch of road trips to make things easier in your relationship back home, and then, you know, things get heated. And
how long has he been gone from us?
Well, he died.
It's been a long time, right?
'06.
Yeah, he died a long time ago.
Yeah, and I
so
think,
obviously Pete Rose would be one.
Yes.
Now that you mention him and Hall of Fame and all that.
Would he be, though? Like, I feel like he was kind of hated even before the gambling thing. Am I totally not tracking?
No. It's certainly different in their present tense baseball persona, because I swear, dude, Kirby was a guy I wanted to go see when they were in town playing the Brewers. Like, I want to see
Growing Kirby. Growing up, I was a very little kid when Pete Rose had his heyday, but you remember just hearing how great he was.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie Hustle, and coaches would tell you to run to first base because Pete Rose runs to first base when he gets a walk.
So have you worked on the marketing of this list, and does it have a catchy name? Because Bonds Griffey is tough to beat.
No name yet. The first one I came up with whenever we first stumbled upon this today was, for me, the man who gave us $5 footlongs. I'm thinking, you know, right up until a certain point.
Jared Sandler was okay. Or not Jared Sandler, Jared Fogle. Sorry,
on Jared. His birthday, no less. You know, you only knew the guy as he'll help you lose weight. He lost weight. You know, this is it's an affordable, nutritious product. And then, you know, now you...
So it takes a major thing to make us forget everything else you've done.
And everything before that has to be pretty much uniformly positive. Like, you can't have been, like, kind of a bad boy who was loved for being a bad boy, which I guess in my mind is how Charlie Rose is, Pete Rose. But I guess Charlie Rose could also play this game.
He was chunky. Rose. He was just like the common man. He's just like us.
Do you think that...
Interestingly, Charlie Rose is possibly a candidate for this list.
So I am looking at a list, and I'm thinking of different people, and I'm sure you have a few. But would Jerry Krause end up being our only one that didn't do something illegal?
Yeah, and I...
Like, he broke up the Bulls, which
I struggle
is the
with
worst
your Jerry Krause
ever.
One, because you are picking two things in Scotty and Phil Jackson, which are obviously impossible to argue against. But in real time, he hired an ABA coach because Reinsdorf was paying off Doug Collins, and he did not... I mean, it was very much the Mike Brown hire, but it worked. And the Scottie Pippen one, again, this is a guy that turned out very, very well, but he had like 13 drafts with the Bulls.
Well, I'm saying
What about the Oakley trade, though?
That was actually a downgrade of talent, getting Bill Cartwright for Charles Oakley. I think just about everybody at the time and afterwards said they actually took a better player and traded him for a better
fit.
Will
Perdue?
Perdue was, I want to say... Man, maybe their eighth guy. I guess it's all running together for me, so I want to look it up. But Will Perdue,
and then Kukoc, which we haven't seen in the documentary. I've heard he's like a Krause guy. I don't know. I guess I want to hate the guy, but it seems like there is something there that he might not be like totally awful.
But the way the documentary laid it out was that he brought in Phil Jackson as a prospective coach under Stan Albach.
Yes.
Stan Albach?
Albeck. Mm-hmm.
And he didn't like him because he was too much of a hippie or a free spirit or a wrinkled jacket or your Mike Leach type. And then he brought him in again under Doug Collins. So the way it's laying it out is like, boy, he had his eye on this
hand-picked
guy for quite
successor.
Some time.
Yes, yeah. The Jerry Jones-Jason Garrett relationship.
And then his vision, you know, he thought Tex Winter really had the, you know, the stuff. And that Jerry Krause really enjoyed... that theory of basketball, which could also make you think he didn't like the theory that superstars carry this thing. I want more of a team game. It's not about one guy they have more power if one guy.
How about this? Tony Kukoc. Did he ever have just a whole lot with those Bulls teams?
And see,
like,
I don't
at
know
any
that.
Point was he? A
I really don't. Well,
I don't really know. Either.
Well, how about this? At any point during their six title run, was he a top three Chicago Bull?
Who was top three before Rodman got there?
Pippen and Horace.
Yeah, it was Horace.
And then John Paxson, and I mean,
when did Kukoc get there? What year?
1994. So actually, the baseball year.
Okay.
He joined them and is most famous there for Phil giving him the shot instead of Scotty in the game Scotty walked out.
Right.
But then the entire run from 96 to 98, he was an important 25, 27, 28-minute guy, which is, I mean, it's important, but it's fourth or fifth most important Chicago Bull during those years. And because of the novelty of him and the name and the buildup before he got here, I think he was certainly famous. I don't know that he was necessarily ever like a do-or-die part of that dynasty.
I guess the point is that maybe Jerry Krause was, at worst, like kind of an average GM before
100%.
This year.
And I don't know that he was ever portrayed for being worse than that until, yes, he was obsessed with the next team that he was going to create, you know?
So one that we got was Joe Pa.
That's the best one right there.
I got that one a lot.
I would say like, Joe Pa is what this should be named after. He even beats OJ.
Well, there's the two heads that are
Dude, Joe Pa.
Not a pad.
OJ was not worshipped by a massive, massive following. Joe Pa was the example of what you want your son to grow up to be someday.
Man.
So all the people on the side of the road with Go OJ?
Well, no. They didn't worship OJ.
That was just a societal time because
OJ didn't care about black people until he was getting away with something, and that's when they started caring about him. So, no, he was worshipped by the Naked Gun, all the people who thought he was so...
My dad.
Right. So, oh, my gosh. Yes, I would love for him to marry my daughter. I don't care.
The Bruno Mali crew. Mine is not great. But I just thought of one that I really thought of this week because we were watching Monday Night Football. And it's very low level, but I think Sam Hurd needs to be on this roster somewhere.
Someone sent me that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and maybe his heights are not quite high enough, but he was... Dude, I don't know if you heard this. We didn't play it, which is my fault. But I think day three, Steven talked about what a smash hit they had with Sam Hurd as a UDFA. And how important that part of your team is. And we're like, success.
Is he the guy that would stay after practice with T.O.?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was his first camp. Him and Miles Austin, I think, came on the same team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I received people like Sam Hurd, Kellen Winslow, Ray Caruth.
Kellen Winslow, the junior?
Yeah, I don't know about Kellen Winslow.
He had a rap sheet the whole way.
Yeah. I mean, he was already famous for kind of being a psycho. Bill Cosby.
Okay. Maybe he needs it, not Joe Pa.
As far as the best. See, I think as we're talking this out, I don't even think Jerry Krause will make the list that he started.
Maybe not, but it's a good list.
So. Because there's several murders and rapes here, Dan. So.
And can you go the other direction? Can you be a heel the entire way, but then for some reason you're beloved in as you ride off into the sunset for the
LeBron went back and forth.
Yeah, I don't know that he was ever a heel though by the majority. Do you?
Boy, when he first made the decision.
Yeah.
I think that was media guys. And I think the fans didn't care, man. Except like hardcore Cleveland guy.
Yeah.
Oh man, I hated him.
Yeah, I think a lot of fans, I don't think it was just media.
Probably not just.
But it wasn't universally hated.
I bet you his first couple years with the Heat, he was still selling as many jerseys as just about anybody.
Well, that's because I was buying them.
That's true. That's a good list. I'm curious about the heel that turns into a good guy at the end.
Michael Jackson, right? Not on the good. He didn't turn good.
What?
Michael Jackson.
That's a good one.
Yeah, but you said it right after he said somebody who...
I know. I'm sorry. I was still thinking of the other list. There's no one else on Bob's list.
There might be. We just need to think about it.
So commit a murder when you're 20, yet...
Because dying prematurely will usually help you go from a heel to someone beloved.
Okay, so... Yeah, but all right. There's something here. There's a Tom Rinaldi story here about somebody, let's say, who...
Dwayne Goodrich?
You have to do time for a little bit, but then
Robert Downey Jr.?
Okay.
Dude, that might be the best one.
There
you go.
That's not bad at all.
I can see that.
It's Trey.
Way to go, Trey. But there has to be an athlete or two. Not only did he grow up on the wrong side of the tracks, but he actually did this and this and this when he was young, impressionable. This went wrong. But now he is a max out superstar and he cares about kids. And here's his foundation. And he's won 3 titles.
So Trey's like Jan Mahimny. He comes in once during the whole playoff run.
Ooh, Michael Vick. I still think.
Nails a 3.
I think Michael Vick is still generally hated by most. Although I haven't watched this 4-hour 30 for 30. I need to watch that sometime.
I mean, he even has a job on television, which no one would have thought would have happened.
A-Rod.
He does. After the, yes.
Ooh, yeah, maybe.
Hold on. The ticket has just learned Michael
A-Rod's
Vick has a TV job. What is he on?
Yeah, dude, yeah, A-Rod is definitely now viewed as good.
Michael Vick's on Countdown?
He's on Fox.
No way.
Yes, he has a Fox job. I promise
you. No, I'm
you.
Saying A-Rod. I'm we're having two different conversations here.
A-Rod got Mike Reiner in his corner. Like, A-Rod's doing Sunday Night Baseball, and he's, you know, he's fun, affable guy now.
I agree. Alex Rodriguez has come a long, long ways back into the good graces, Dan.
Man, that's sad.
Ooh, here's one. I don't know if any of us agreed with it, but Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not bad.
Like Ray Lewis.
Although he never really felt the wrath of being involved in a murder, right? It wasn't like he was hated and then he's rehabilitated his image with all his great works. He just kind of flew under.
What? Josh says Kobe.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, and now Donovan's dying young theory. Although, even before he died.
Yeah, Kobe's an interesting
case. He was on the way back.
Kobe's a really interesting case.
Remember when he yelled that slur at that ref?
Yeah, it's the NBA.
Okay.
Different time.
That different.
He made a bad call. He shouldn't have made me mad. Well, gentlemen.
Hey. Oh, well, hold on real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Mike, do you know what segment is next?
Yeah, coming up next, Jake, it's Community Quick Hits. You want to tease?
No, I was hoping
are you just going to turn it into something else like you did E-News?
Yeah.
Hey, you dudes, we're here for E-News. We're having fun together.
I love ganging up. This is great.
Yeah. It doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me at all. Okay.
40 miles away.
Man, there's really something about the aquarium theory where you just introduce one new fish into the aquarium and everything changes in the entire environment. And I think that fish today was Dan. Guys, it's great to have you on the ticket helping us get through quarantine. Or it's over. I don't even know if we're quarantined. Are we quarantined?
Anytime.
Was this a quarantine? Yeah, let's do this again.
Every week.
All right. I love you guys. Thank you.
Bye, dudes.
Have a happy football.